Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you are doing well. I don't know about you, but it has been a long, long week. Very long week. I think the nation needs a break. I really do. You know, I was thinking about this. I was coming on today, and I was like, there's so many things that you know, we're going to touch upon today, but we do need a break. You know, I mean, we really need a break from all the hostility. We need a break to get away from the nightmare that is the anger that this country is currently feeling amongst one another. I don't know about you, but I'm exhausted from it. I'm exhausted from, you know, man bun wearing, angry kids who are outside screaming and yelling and not really knowing why they're angry, because the world in itself has seemed to piss them off. Yet at the same time, they don't know why they're pissed off. They just know they're angry because somebody is becoming the president of the United States that they don't agree with. Even Michael Moore. Michael Moore, by the way, has been a defender of Trump in some ways by saying, got to give him a chance. He was elected fair and square. You got to give him a chance. Michael Moore, you got to give him a chance. You have to give him a chance, don't you? I mean, if you're a reasonable, open-mind individual who understands that this is a new phase in our country, meaning that we're in a situation now where we're having an unproven and untested president of the United States, right? He's unproven. He's untested. Zero political experience whatsoever. He's surrounding himself with a bunch of, you know, Washingtonian, D.C. elite. But he's still the unproven and untested person in this. And the buck will stop with him, I think, in many ways. You got to give him a chance. Whether you disagree with everything he is about. Elizabeth Warren came out yesterday. Harry Reid came out. You know, both of them acted like, you know, bitter little ninnies what they were to me. They were just an older version of what I see in the streets. That's what they were. They were an older, bitter version of what I see in the streets. I think the country needs a break. I think the country needs a break from all this crap. I think we need to look elsewhere and talk about things that are happening out there that aren't politically divisive. You know, I have said all along that I'm going to give him a chance and I'm going to hold him accountable where he needs to be, and I'm going to praise him when he needs to be praised, and when he does some things that you know, fall on the side of stupidity, I'm going to definitely, you know, air my opinion on those things. Today, you know, here's a perfect example. He has dumped Chris Christie. How much of that has to do with Christie's competence, and how much of that has to do with what's going on currently in the whole trial and everything that took place with Bridgegate? I don't know. But he's installed his kids to help with the transition. Pence is going to oversee the entire thing. He has already said, after talking to President Obama, he is more than open to keeping several things inside of Obamacare. But he wants to repeal it. First of all, the repeal would be detrimental. And I think he sees you when you're running for president of the United States, right? It's like if you go on the Price is Right, not even the Price is Right, you go on the Let's Make a Deal. You got three curtains, and you're promising things behind three curtains, but you don't actually know what's behind the three curtains until the curtain opens. And I think he's getting a look at some stuff, and he's thinking, okay, you know what? I wanted to do this, but I can't do this because if I do this completely, we're going to be SOL. I wanted to try this, but if I try this based on the things I think you're going to see a lot more of that. And I think for the first time ever, we may be getting a president that's very honest about the fact that, hey, look, yeah, you know what? I promised you these things. But based on the things I see, if I do this, you're going to be in a 10 times worse situation than you are right now. So why don't we fix it? I told Phil before we went on air, I said, producer Phil, don't be surprised. And how ironic and funny would it be at the same time is if the person that ends up really saving Obamacare is Donald Trump. He goes in, and instead of gutting it, he looks at it and say, there's 50 things in here that are absolutely paramount to having a successful health plan. We need to keep these things. And you know what? There's a lot of things in here that aren't good. And we're going to add some stuff to it that we think, you know, coupled with this, it's going to be great. Give him a chance. That's it. Give him a chance. There's nothing wrong with giving people a chance. People are already up in arms, and they're already pissed, and they're already throwing fits, and they're starting, you know, petitions, and they're begging states to use their electoral college the way, you know, it was meant to be used, that if you don't feel this person's fit to be president, that you can override, you know, it's ridiculous. Give him a chance. Before you throw the baby out with the bathwater, give him a chance. That's all I'm asking. He may turn out to be the worst president of all time. He may turn out to be a game changer. But without giving him a chance, we will never know. And I told somebody this last night, and I mean it. If there was some crazy way, some wacky way, some insane way that you got a state or two that overrides this, takes away the Electoral College from him, gives it to Hillary, that if you think this is bad, what you see in the streets now, the difference between man bun upset carrying a sign and very pissed off angry voter who now officially feels like not only did his vote not count when he thought it did count, you took it away from him and literally stole it from him. His ass is showing up and he's not carrying a man bun and an iPhone. Are you saying there'd be violence? Really? You have to ask? Hell, there's violence now and people are pissed off. You got kids being beat up. You got a kid getting, you know, you got kids getting beat up in the street for wearing Trump shirts. You got crazy old people who are yelling anti-Semitic and horrible things. You got graffiti. You got a girl getting her ass kicked by people who are angry that she voted for Trump. You have all of this stuff happening. Over what? It's about giving a chance to somebody. It's about giving a chance. That's what you do. That's what you do. You give people chances in life. I get frustrated because I look at this amazing country that we live in, and it is this most incredible country. And yes, there is a divide in our country, and yes, there is some anger out there. But we're at the point now where one side of people wants nothing but what they want, and they're not willing to accept the fact that maybe it doesn't go their way. And they're at the point in their life where everything is about them, the narcissistic ways they see themselves. Perfect example. We joke about all these celebrities. But to think for just a second, right, that you matter so much is to say that you're going to take your talents and go elsewhere, right? That you're going to – LeBron James didn't say, I'm taking my talents to South Beach. But, you know, he didn't say, I'm taking my talents to Lithuania. I'm taking my talents to Italy. But it's to think – you know, I was listening to Bill Burr, you know, say, really, Cher? Really? First of all, I didn't even know you were still here. So, you know, Barbara Streisand. So you're going to – he said, you're going to trade Malibu for Manitoba? Is this – I mean – but it's true. The audacity to think that you're this important, you're so self-involved with and you're so narcissistic that you wrap yourself up into, not only am I not going to give this man a chance, I'm going to let everybody know what a horrible scumbag, misogynistic pig, it's asinine. It's amazing. I would have given Hillary a chance. If she would have won, I would have said, well, she won. So let's get behind her and give her the support we can. And if she fails, then we'll call her on it. And if she does some good things, we'll applaud her for it. Why is that so hard for people? You know why? Because everybody wants to be right. Right? Everybody wants to be right. And they feel that their loss makes them not right. That's why people in talk radio can't say if President Obama does something, they couldn't even fathom. They couldn't fathom the thought of saying he did a hell of a job on that thing. Because all they know is criticism. And then they wonder why when the other side's criticism, oh my God. All they know is criticism. Look, I understand there's fear out there. Don't get me wrong. I absolutely understand there's fear out there. I understand there are people that are scared. I understand there are people that are worried that their rights are going to be, you know, taken away. I get that. And you know what? A lot of people I talk to, it's not about Donald Trump. It's about his running mate that they're worried. But let's give them a chance, first and foremost, before we decide, hey, you know what? This isn't working. Give it a chance. That's all that we can ask. And if it fails, the good news is in 4 years, we can go back and have a redo. But let's not already damn him to failure without even stepping foot into the Oval Office as the President of the United States. And for those of you who are advocating violence against him, for those of you who are advocating his assassination, for those of you who think it's okay because you didn't get your way, so you should be able to pout because you worried that he's the big bad boogeyman that's going to come take away everything that you hold dear, shame on you. Shame on you. It was the same thing I said when President Obama was president. Anybody who could advocate assassinating our president, shame on you. I worry. I've talked to several people, and you know what they say? Several people who work within the world of politics at a high level, and they all say, we worry more about him having a pot shot taken at him than we do President Obama. Think about that for a second. And by the way, if I always tell everybody, if you're really that worried, always remember, you never know what the guy behind the guy is like. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, C-H-A-D-B-E-N-S-O-N, chadbensonshow.com. You can also text the show, 323-538-2423. Speaking of the guy behind the guy and the lady behind the guy and the young boy behind the guy, for the first time in 50-plus years, we'll have a first boy, if you will. We'll have a little dude in the White House. And we'll have a beautiful model that's, quite frankly, causing a lot of controversy herself. Chad Benson Show.
Well, she's all you'd ever want. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Very interesting. Melania Trump is, has she made a few missteps? Yes. People on the left can compare her to Michelle Obama, who, by the way, I have on numerous occasions have come to the defense of Michelle Obama. I think the way she was treated by a lot of people, but particularly by the lunch thing is a nightmare. But, you know, I like food and bad food does not sit well with me, no matter who is there. But particularly the way that she was treated in several countries. And I didn't like that. I didn't like the way they treated her. And I will do the same thing for Melania Trump. I joke about how beautiful she is, but let's be real. Anybody, I've yet to find somebody, gay or straight, who doesn't go, wow, she's a beautiful woman. She speaks four languages. She's not an idiot. And just like Donald Trump, give her a try. See what she's like. Did she pose? Was she a model in her day? Yes. People are going to compare her to Michelle, and they're going to compare her to Jackie O. You know who she is? She's the first Melania Trump. That's what she is. Then you've got the first young boy in the office. Somebody said I said the first boy, but they said it's the next boy. It's the first little kid in the office since JFK Jr. I refuse. You know what? I've always said this, and it gets me mad when I see anybody else. When people did it to the Bush daughters, when people have done it to Malia and the other one. I'm sorry. The kids are off. They're off limits. Chelsea, she's a grown woman now, and she's made up, you know, she's got her own life. That's one thing. But when she was in the office, I when I was on radio in Europe, I refused to say anything about Chelsea because they're children. But I watched Barron the other night, and that little kid, first of all, the exhaustion of, understand that they've been doing a lot of traveling as well. That 10-year-old little kid is, it has been just about everywhere Pops has been, right? Minus a few days here and there. And I have to say this. Think about this as a 10-year-old, right? It's already your dad is uber famous. Mom is, you know, gorgeous. Dad is ultra successful. Big brothers and sisters are damn good kids and damn good people in themselves and successful. And now you're 10 years old. You're thrust into all of this. And on top of all of that stuff, you've got to uproot your life and move to D.C. And now you're surrounded by tons of bodyguards and all of these things. That's got to be a tough thing. It is. It is. It very much is. And I was, you know, I looked at him the other night and my heart went out to him. I felt sad. Like I was trying to put myself in that position that let's say, you know, Jack was six and I was running for president. I won. How would Jack feel at 3:30 in the morning behind me sitting there in a tie that he probably doesn't want to wear, trying to pull it off? You know, it's got to be exhausting. Kids are exhausting. And you know what? That kind of life has got to be doubly exhausting. So it'll be very interesting to see how they go forward. But this is the first family now. This is what we have. And by the way, Ivanka Trump and Eric and Donald Jr., get ready to see a lot of them. Because over the next several months and several years, they're going to be a part of what moves forward. Because this is going to be a team effort. And I think he is calling on the people that are closest to him. Because I think especially Ivanka has his ear in a way that nobody else does. It'll be interesting, though. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can text the show, 323-538-2423. I'm going to do this next. I was going to do something else. I'm going to do it next. It's about sports. Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show. Talk radio just got a little cooler.
Chad Benson.
Chad Benson.
The Chad Benson Show.
Sports. I love sports. Always have loved sports. I think sports is it's really a snapshot, a microcosm of what takes place in life. And a lot of things have happened this week. We have got a very upset and divided nation. I know that many of our professional sports teams are made up of basketball, football, baseball, predominantly, you know, people of color, African Americans. And this week, obviously, a shock to a lot of people. And a lot of people are upset. A lot of people are angry. A lot of people are really, you know, kind of, you know, in this bewildered mindset now that how in God's name did this happen? Sports is, you know, I use these metaphors and these antidotes because it's very much, it echoes a lot of what goes on in real life. Stan Van Gundy is he's a hell of a coach. He's a good coach, you know, good player, a good leader of men, and a guy that really, I think, is, you know, you got to understand it. You're a, you know, here he is. He coaches the Detroit Pistons, and your locker room is made up of predominantly African-American men, and they're upset. You've got a wife and a daughter, and they're upset. And he, the other day, got onto the bus, and he thought his players were upset. He thought his players were upset because they played a bad game and lost. He then realized early into it wasn't because of that. It was because of the election. Their heads were down, And he went on a rant that was, it was interesting to say the least. And it touched on everything from misogyny to name it, racism, misogyny, sexism, everything and then some. And he did not hold back. He did not hold back. We'll start it off with the fact that he has daughters and he wanted to essentially talk to them.
I mean, my daughters are the same way, three of them. I mean, they know. Our society has said, no, we think you should be second-class citizens. We want you to be second-class citizens, and we embrace a guy who is openly misogynist as our leader. I don't know. I don't know how we get past.
Openly misogynistic. I will say this, all right? Look, Trump did a lot of this to himself, right? A lot of this damage is self-inflicted. Things that you say, things that you've said in the past, things that you shouldn't echo. We talked about it the other day. Who raised you? What were your parents like? How did you get to this point where you thought it was okay to walk up and to say, I could grab a girl wherever the hell I want because I am who I am? Some of that is society, because they've allowed people like Trump to get away with stuff for so long that they feel they don't really care. And also some of it's on the other people, right? Like if you're around people for certain things, and that's all that you would think of them as, you see Donald Trump as a giant dollar sign, and you put yourself in positions that you don't care what they do because you're after something too, that's on you. But yeah, there is a lot of this is self-inflicted from Donald. Clip number four is very, very, very telling, though, and I think in a lot of the anger of what's going on in this country, and when he talks about the fans.
And I'm having a hard time just being with people because I'm going to walk in this arena tonight and realize that, especially in this state, most of these people voted for the guy. Like, I don't have any respect for that. I don't.
Wow. Wow. Lot, you know, NBA gets a lot of criticism at times because you have white, you have white billionaires, and you have lots of fans, and you have black players, and a lot of those fans are white, and not their fault. You shouldn't apologize for that, but people always find a way to criticize things. You know, Van Gundy wasn't just a little upset. He was apoplectic at times. And he went off. I mean, it came out of nowhere. He said, I don't even want to talk about basketball at this point in time. And some of this, also, you have to understand is, you think about this, right? Some of this is also because you're coaching a lot of African Americans in a league predominantly African American. That's why. There's also that. People won't say that, but it's true. He may be pissed and he may be angry. But again, what are we scared of yet? Because nothing's happened. Last clip, number six here, he talks about the fact that, you know, what do we do moving forward?
How do you go about it if you're a person of color today, Latino? Because white society just said to you again, not like we haven't forever, but again and emphatically, we don't think you deserve equality. We don't think you deserve respect. And the same with women. That's what we said today as a country. And we should be ashamed of what we stand for as the United States today.
Here's where I don't buy that argument. Even Michael Moore, again, who I talked about earlier, you know, he said this was nothing about race. This wasn't about any of those other things. It was about the fact that people felt left behind, that they were abandoned, that their life wasn't quite as good as they thought it was going to be. And 8 years later, and billions and trillions of dollars spent, there are no jobs. People are struggling. This was a referendum on the way things have been. This was anger about life and work and opportunities. This was not anger about color. And when people start to say we're going back to the days of civil, you know, before the Civil War, we're more angry than that, and that it's back to chains for everybody and slavery's here, and we're going back to Jim Crow's laws, I just sit there and I think, do you not have any idea how strong this country is? I've seen more bitter angerness of people saying, take me off your Facebook site if you voted for Donald Trump because you're a misogynist, homophobic, xenophobic pig. And I sit there and I thought to myself, the hate inside of these things, and it's all fear. It's all fear related. But this is what sports does, right? Because we get a microcosm, a snapshot of how people are dealing with it in ways that we don't think. And tonight is another one of those situations where we're going to get a snapshot of things. In less than 2 hours, the World Cup qualifying will begin for the United States of America. They play in this thing called the Hexagon here, CONCACAF, which is made up of a bunch of, you know, North American and like, you know, Caribbean countries, and they all qualify for the World Cup. The top three qualify, and the fourth place finisher plays in a playoff, and they decide to get to go to the next World Cup, which is in Russia. Tonight's opening match is against the United States of America. Tonight's opening match, and understand that this has been a bitter rivalry anyways. This has been a very bitter rivalry. The American team, when they go down to Mexico City, are not welcome with open arms, are treated absolutely horribly. The fans are treated horribly, and it's going to be like that tonight as well. Unfortunately, it's going to be that way tonight for the Mexico team. The chance to come out. And sports is one of those things where, you know, you get on that field and you're going against an opponent. And you forget that there's lots on the line. Whether we you know, in the 80s, we would boycott the Olympics or the Winter Olympics. I mean, there was more than just, you know, the U.S. hockey team winning. It was more than just a victory. It was a symbol of something. And tonight's going to be one of those things, again, where these two teams are going to take the field. And based on what took place this week, based on the rhetoric, based on all of the things that have been said by the person who is now is president-elect and will soon be president, based on a lot of these things, there's more than just animosity. There's more than just a game at stake for an opportunity. Because the truth is, both of these teams are going to end up qualifying for the World Cup. But there's a lot that goes into this night, and this cuts through just being a game, and it becomes a political, you know, grandstand moment for both sides. And my interest tonight is to watch how people, and when the U.S. plays, you know, Mexico always gets mad because we tend to, you know, Mexico wants us to play our home games against them in places like, you know, Southern California. Why is that? Because they have a huge Latino field, a Latino crowd that shows up. So they'll play at the Rose Bowl. It'll be 95,000, you know, Hispanic fans, Mexican fans who are there to root them on, 5,000 American fans. Okay, it's a home game for them. But the U.S. during these times, they play their games in Columbus, Ohio, because they know they're going to get nothing but American fans there. And I'm interested tonight to see how we behave as fans. I'm interested tonight to see how we as individuals. This goes to the heart of why people are scared. This goes to the heart. When I hope and I pray that we act as adults, that we don't scream things like build the wall, that we don't say racist things. I hope and pray for that, because what that does is that feeds to the fire of what a lot of people think already that all Trump supporters are like. And we don't want that. And we don't need that. We don't. The chance of USA is good enough. To do anything other than that is ridiculous. But that tends to be what ends up happening in situations like this, because people are so stupid and closed-minded. And they think, oh, you know, if me doing this is going to be funny. It's not funny. It's asinine and stupid. And I hate the fact that, you know, we at times can't seem to control ourselves. I have seen some things from Trump supporters over the last couple of days that it makes me sick. It does. It makes me sick. We want to do better. I want to do better. But at some point in time, we've got to stop acting like children. And we've got to act like adults. And tonight's the first chance to get a clear picture of how a certain part of the country, Ohio, by the way, who went for Trump, we get a glimpse into all of this. And I'm interested to see how they act. But once again, these are just small little situations here. But they're bigger than just the day-to-day side of just sports. And we'll see. 2 hours from now. Hey, let's talk about something for just a second. Super Beats. I love it. I take it. It helps me out. And trust me, my energy, we are moving and we've been moving. The minute the show's over tonight, we are taking everything, all the studio stuff, over to our new facility. And the rest of the stuff will be moved. I'm exhausted. I went to bed at like 3 o'clock last night, this morning. I have had very little sleep, maybe this week, 15 hours in the last 7 days. I am exhausted. Super Beats has helped me tremendously. No caffeine for me. None of those nasty energy drinks for me. I need something that's going to help my heart, that's healthy for me, that helps with my blood pressure, and that tastes delicious. Super Beats gives me all of that. They help me get a bunch of dietary nitrates into my body. What it does, boom, converts it to nitric oxide. One scoop right into water. I take it. And the taste is, again, I have the palate of a 7-year-old. The taste is delicious. It gives me the energy I need within 15 or 20 minutes. Phil and I have been, you're a Super Beats addict.
I wouldn't say an addict. I do take it twice a day. Like I said, I've cut down on all the coffee that I'm drinking because I would drink coffee and get really shaky and then kind of crash. Don't get that with Super Beats. I feel energized after drinking it, and it tastes wonderful.
It does. And they are an amazing company. They stand by their product. Get a 30-day supply free with your first order right now. You're also going to get nitric oxide indicator strips free to use before and after drinking Super Beats and to see how it's working in your body, and that's important. You're also going to get a book called Beat the Odds absolutely free, and everything comes to you with free shipping. It's guaranteed or your money back. You don't think it works. You don't feel the difference. They will give you your money back. Go to chadbeats.com. That's chadbeats.com, or call 800-561-2677. That's 800-561-2677. It works. You will love it. Try Super Beats. Taste delicious. Chadbeats.com or 800-561-2677. Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.
If you've got kids, you might want to cover their ears on this. The reaction from this lady says everything you need to know about the insanity of people out there. Not only did many people think she ruined what was predominantly perceived as the greatest rock and roll music band of all time, the Beatles, but for all intents and purposes, I think she's badass crazy. And I've interviewed her, and she is I don't know if the elevator even goes up and down. I just think it goes sideways at this point in time. So this is her reaction, and by that I mean her, Yoko Ono, to Donald Trump's victory the other night. I wish I did that to a woman. I wish I did that to a woman. Phil, when you hear that, what makes you think of Beatles?
Nothing.
Does anything in the world make your skin crawl? Like, that is, to me, when I hear that, that is the scene in Jaws when Quint scratches the, you know, his nails on the chalkboard.
Ugh.
Y'all know me. I'm Yoko Ono. Y'all know what I do. I ruin the Beatles. Let's hear it one more time for posterity. Yeah, you like that. You know you do. That poor cat. It was horrible. I don't know how long it was in the microwave. Oh, how do you explain that? Like, how do you explain that to somebody? How do you, like, how would you, like, when you were younger, like, how did you explain, to, you know, if you had a kid, like, this is why the Beatles broke up? Which, by the way, Paul McCartney has always said, Yoko didn't play any, I like Yoko, and she played very little part in the breaking up of us. It was mostly a clash between, you know, John and I. But, oh my God, that is just the insanity of it all. I often wonder to myself, if John was alive today, do you think they'd still be together?
That's hard to say. But I based mean, they did that album with, like, dolphin sounds and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it literally makes my skin crawl when I hear that. That was just, let's hear it one more time. Oh, quick, somebody get the cat. It's in the barbecue. Somebody get the cat. So, oh, poor cat. Oh. You're welcome, ladies. The Chad Benson Show, Facebook, at Chad Benson Show, Twitter, ChadBenson, 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. You can also text the show, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. I think that should be my new promo right there, Chad Benson Show.
The Chad Benson Show.